Welcome to Sabbatical 101. My name is Bethany Walensky, and I'm an associate professor at Michigan State University. I had a life-changing sabbatical, and I'm on a mission to help fellow academics do the same. This podcast is a resource for all things academic sabbaticals. Each episode will provide you with inspiration and insight into the sabbatical planning process, regardless of your institution, discipline, length of sabbatical, or where you plan to sabbatical. I'm so excited to have you along for the ride. Welcome back to Sabbatical 101. Before I get started with this episode, I just want to highlight the fact that this is episode 50 of the podcast. Running my own business and having a podcast were two things I never imagined I'd do, but here I am. I started my sabbatical coaching business to provide the support I wished I'd had when I was planning my own sabbatical. But when I started it 2 years ago, I really wasn't sure there were other people out there like me who needed support. Well, it turns out there are, and that academics are craving information and support for sabbatical planning. In just the past week, I've talked to academics who are seeking answers about what they should do during their sabbatical, how they can spend less time on email during sabbatical, whether they should write a scholarly book or a creative one during their sabbatical, and where they should take their family for a sabbatical abroad. These questions, or versions of these questions, are ones I come across all the time, and I love working with clients to find the right solution for them. So thanks for listening to this podcast, and if you've reached out to me or worked with me in the past 2 years, thank you so much for sharing your sabbatical with me. I have learned so much from each and every person that I've spoken to or coached, and I'm so glad that I get to share the insight that I've gained about sabbaticals with all of you. With all that said, for this 50th episode, I'm not actually going to talk about sabbaticals, or at least not directly. It might not feel like time to talk about summer, but that's what I want to talk about in this episode, because summer, or at least the time when many academics who are on 9-month contracts are not going to be paid for several months, is coming up probably sooner than you think it is. Even though it might feel far away, I think summer is something you should be thinking about and preparing for now. And I'm going to share my strategy for approaching summer. And it comes from the approach I use with academics to plan their sabbatical. You might be thinking, well, but summer isn't a sabbatical. I still have all this stuff I have to do. I want to make the argument or the case to you that a summer is sort of like a mini sabbatical. For folks who are taking a 1-semester sabbatical, summer is actually about the same number of weeks as a semester, right? It's also a time when most of us are released from teaching and service responsibilities. So it feels like a time when we have, you know, open days, white space on the calendar, fewer responsibilities, and we can really use the time in ways that we need to. I think we can approach the summer as if it's a mini sabbatical. And so the principles that I teach in my sabbatical planning program really work well for thinking about a summer, because summer gives us some of the same opportunities as a sabbatical in terms of, you know, free time to work on the things that are most important to us or the projects we want to move along. It also has some of the same pitfalls. So how many of you have ever gone into summer thinking, I'm going to get everything done, right? It's all the research, all the writing, all the, I don't know, syllabus revamping that you didn't get done during the school year. You think, I'm going to get that all done during the summer, and it's going to be great. I'm going to feel so ready to go in the fall because my to-do list will finally be complete. I will have finally checked everything off the to-do list. I'm sure I don't have to tell you this. If you have been in this business for a little while, the to-do list never gets finished. It's kind of like laundry. The minute you finish the laundry, there is new laundry that needs to be done. It's never actually done. So I think we need to stop fooling ourselves that at some point we are going to finish everything on the to-do list, and instead think really carefully about what we're going to prioritize for a time like the summer. And so that mentality, that thinking that I'm going to get it all done, this is also a way people go into sabbatical, right? So it's like, okay, here's my to-do list of all the things that need to get done. And then halfway into their sabbatical, they're like, oh my gosh, I am not getting everything done. And then they continue through sabbatical with this feeling of guilt, of overwhelm. And at the end of the sabbatical, they end up regretting that they didn't do more or spend their time the way they should have. My goal with this episode is to help you think about summer in a way that is realistic about the time, realistic about the amount of work you both want to do and need to do, and to plan it in a way that allows you to come to the end of the summer feeling like, okay, I feel good about what I accomplished and I feel ready for what's next. And that's not because you have finished everything on your to-do list. This is just not a realistic expectation. So I invite you to put that out of your mind and stop, you know, pretending that it's all the things are ever going to get done. In this episode, I'm going to walk you through an approach to planning your summer that will hopefully help you feel good at the end and like you accomplished something, and that will also get you out of that cycle of just constantly feeling guilty that you're not doing what you should be doing. I want to posit to you that if you actually pare down your to-do list and you set fewer goals and priorities for you this summer, I think you are actually going to get more done and you're going to feel better doing it, because you're not going to fall into that cycle of just constantly feeling like you're not doing what you should be doing, which ultimately leads to a lot of regret. And I don't know about you, but I want to enjoy my summer. It is cold most of the year where I live, and so I want to enjoy those long summer days. I want to have a cocktail out on the deck. I want to go on vacation with my family and not bring my laptop, right? I don't want to be thinking about that article or that grant while I'm spending time with my kids. So let's make this the summer that things are different, that you set fewer goals, you have fewer priorities, and you lean into the things that you really need and want from the summer. So before I tell you how to do that, I just want to dig a little bit further into why summers can be such a letdown and why smart, accomplished people like you and like me repeatedly fall into the cycle of summer guilt and regret. I think it really comes down to three things. So the first thing is that we don't treat summer as a finite resource. A regular semester has built-in accountability and routine. You look at your calendar for the week or the semester ahead, and you can see teaching, office hours, committee meetings, all those things. And although that structure sometimes feels constraining, or often feels constraining, it can actually force you to be strategic about how you then spend those open pockets of time. In contrast, like I said before, the summer feels open and spacious, and that can trick us into thinking that there's more time than there actually is, and that we can use the time to get everything done. So, you know, when you're looking out in May or whenever your summer starts, whenever you're off contract, those 12 empty weeks feel like forever. But we all know from experience that the time flies by, and also that those weeks aren't actually empty. You may have vacation plans, your schedule might be changing because kids are out of school and you have different sort of care scenarios, and you may just have other things that you enjoy doing when you're not in full on professor mode. And also, most of us could benefit from some time to decompress after a busy semester, right? It's the time that you finally come up for air. And so sometimes we forget that we want like that first week of summer to just do nothing. So when you think about all the things that are probably already on your summer calendar, it turns out that you probably don't have as much time as you thought, right? So my goal here is not to get you to feel stressed or anxious about that reality, but I want to let you know that I have a strategy for you and that you are going to have a better summer and probably a more productive one if you're realistic about your time. So the second reason that summer ends up feeling stressful is that most of us don't name what we actually need from the time. I'm guessing if you've been an academic for any amount of time that you're pretty good at identifying what you should do, right? I know I am. I should write that grant proposal. I should get that revise and resubmit done. I should revamp my syllabus. Academia is great at conditioning us to be constantly aware of and to feel guilty about all the things we should be doing, but we're not. And because expectations can be vague and there's no point where anyone really will tell you to stop or slow down, this doesn't go away over the summer. I mean, or ever, quite frankly. What most of us aren't great at asking ourselves, though, is what we need. And we're also not good at admitting to what we need, particularly when those things feel like they're in tension with what we think we should do. So it's hard to say we need things like rest or connection or fewer things on our plate or permission to slow down. So even when you're not getting paid over the summer, it can be hard to acknowledge time off as a legitimate need. But if you think about it, it's pretty hard to make your highest contribution to your field, your department, your students, if you're totally burned out. So summer is a really good time to hit the pause button and to allow yourself some time and space to reset. Now, I know that's easier said than done, especially if you're in the pre-tenure grind, but I hope I can convince you, like I said before, that you'll actually be more productive if you focus on fewer things during the summer. So more on that to come. Now, the third reason academics tend to fall into this cycle of summer guilt and regret is that we tend to plan for one version of ourselves. When it comes to summer, we tend to plan for our best, most focused, most energized self, right? The one who's up writing for 2 hours before 9 a.m., and never gets pulled into social media, goes down literature rabbit holes, or spends too much time on email. We don't tend to plan for the version of ourselves who is exhausted from the semester, who needs 2 weeks before they feel human again, who wants to take their kids to the beach or finally go on that hiking trip. Your summer plan needs to actually reflect your needs in your current season, and not the person you hope you'll be from May to August each year. So I hope I've convinced you that maybe there's a need to think about summer differently and to make a different kind of plan for this summer. And you may be wondering what exactly that is. So here's the shift in thinking that I want to offer you. What if you took an intentional approach to planning your summer? One that mirrors the approach I've used with dozens of academics just like you to design their sabbatical. This approach to planning doesn't start with a to-do list, and it doesn't start with the idealized version of yourself. This approach starts with reflection and asking questions like, how do I feel right now? How do I want to feel at the end of this time? If those two things are different, then you need a plan to get yourself from where you are right now to where you want to be at the end of the summer. You'll want to ask yourself, what is most important to me right now? Sometimes our work is not actually the most important thing. Sometimes the work needs to be put on hold so that other important things can be done. You'll want to ask yourself, what would make me feel like this summer was a success? Not just professionally, but as a whole person. And then you'll want to ask from there, what do I need to prioritize this summer? You should think about these questions and also write down your answers. I know it sounds hokey, or you might be thinking, oh, really, write down the answers. But I think you'll be surprised by what comes up when you start thinking deeply. Actually, give yourself a little bit of time to mull this over and to write something down. And I'm hoping what this does for you, because I know what it does for my clients when we talk about these same questions in relation to a sabbatical, is that it really helps them uncover new insights about what they need. And it helps them identify the shoulds, right? The things that they just feel like for some reason they should or they have to do, but doesn't really align with what they need. I want you to get to that place where you're really clear about what is it that I need right now, the real me who has needs and things in their life outside of, you know, research and teaching and other scholarship related things. And to really identify at the core, like, what does this summer need to be about? And so I'm hoping that as you ask yourself these questions, what you come away with is a list of things that are important that are both personal and professional. What we want to do next is identify out of your whole big long to-do list, what is absolutely the most important thing for this summer, for these 12 weeks or however long you have. Okay, so the next step is to identify 2 to 3 professional projects that you are going to prioritize this summer. Now, I know this may sound unrealistic, but please don't stop listening, okay? Academia tells us consistently to always do more and more and to add more to our plate. And that goes along really well with this mistake many of us make, thinking that that time is not finite, right? That we can just add more and more and somehow we'll have time to do it. I want you to just think about how that has worked out for you in the past. Do you ever set unrealistic goals for yourself and then for a period of time just feel consistently terrible that you're not getting as much done as you'd hoped? I mean, trust me, I know how this feels. Just ask me about the article I said would be done by the day this episode is scheduled to drop. That most definitely is not going to be submitted on time. Right. So even though I talk about these things all the time, it is so easy to fall into that trap of overestimating how quickly you can get something done or thinking you have more time to get it done than you do. And carrying the weight of that guilt and self-judgment, carrying that around is just no fun, right? And it doesn't help us to be more productive or to enjoy our free time more. So I know it's hard, but I want you to really push yourself to name what's most important to you right now and to be realistic. What are the 2 to 3 projects that you absolutely want to accomplish this summer? Write them down, write a few sentences about why they're important, and then put the rest of your projects and to-dos on a separate nice to-do list. And the rule is going to be that you're only allowed to touch those projects if you get your top priority projects done and you still feel like working. So if you get everything done by the end of June and you don't want to work anymore, great. I invite you to spend the rest of your summer doing whatever makes you happy and whole. How good would that feel to actually get the things done that were on your to-do list? Again, your top 2 to 3 projects. Not your nice to-do list. The nice to-do list, now this requires some self-discipline, right? Setting those things aside and saying, like, these are just not going to be my priorities this summer. These can be done at another time. So you have to actually believe that in order for this to work. You have to believe that it is okay to prioritize just a few things and to actually get those done instead of having this massive to-do list that you're never going to get done and that you're just going to feel badly that you didn't complete, right? So it's all well and good to identify those projects, but we also know that some projects are bigger than others. And like we said before, you probably already have some things you know about on your summer calendar. That 12 weeks of free time is not actually 12 weeks of free time. What you need to do next then is to check your projects against your calendar to see if you really have time to do everything that you're currently planning to do. You're going to need to break your projects down into tasks and put them on your calendar, along with the other stuff you already know about, like vacations or kids' camp schedules. And then if you can't find time to get your projects done, you need to pare down your list even more. That might mean taking something off the list or making the scope of the project smaller. So let's say you're working on data analysis for a project. Maybe you're only going to get some of the analysis done instead of all of it. Or you're working on a grant application. Maybe the grant is the only thing that gets done. It's the only thing that you focus on this summer and you just take other things off the list. I know it feels painful because we want to imagine we can do more than often than we're actually capable of doing. but I just want you to think ahead to your future self. How does your future self feel if you continue to set unrealistic expectations and not meet them? How do you feel in August when you do that? Versus how would it feel to have fewer goals, but to actually get everything done and to go into the next semester feeling like, okay, I accomplished what I wanted to do. And yes, I still have this other thing on my plate, but that's okay. It's going to get done at some point. So remember, the summer is finite, even if most of us don't want to believe it is. Now, I know this all may seem a bit tedious. It's only April, and you might be thinking, do I really need to put all this effort into summer? I mean, a time when I'm off and I don't have to teach, I don't have to go to meetings, can't I just let summer happen? I mean, yeah, you can. But again, if you're someone who has had this experience of letting summer happen and just not feeling great at the end, then I'm going to invite you to try something different. What's the worst that could happen? What's the best that could happen? I would love for you to have a summer that gives you what you need, gives you space and time for true relaxation and rejuvenation, and allows you to feel like you accomplished what you needed to accomplish, even if it feels like less than what you should be doing. And I invite you to try to just push all of those shoulds out of your head. I know it's hard, but a lot of the things that we tell ourselves we should do are actually just kind of ourselves, noise that we create because we've been so conditioned to just keep going and going and doing more and more in academia. I also know that all this sounds really straightforward in theory. And maybe you're nodding along and thinking, yeah, this all makes sense. I should do that. Of course, I want to feel good at the end of the summer. Of course, I want to find some sort of happy balance between competing priorities in my life. But I also know that sitting down and doing this kind of intentional planning is harder than it sounds. I know this because I have made my own mistakes in summer, and that's why I'm talking to you about this, because I have been that person who doesn't do this intentional planning because it's hard and it doesn't feel like something you need to be thinking about in April. And it's hard to do when you're just feeling exhausted from the semester, when the to-do list is really long and you're accustomed to just always doing more and more. It's also really hard to do when no one has ever taught you how to do it. These might be new ideas. This might be the first time someone has said to you, think about doing less. Think about having fewer things on your to-do list. That's why I created the Summer Reset Workbook. The Summer Reset Workbook is a guided planning resource designed specifically for academics, and it walks you through everything I just described and more with prompts, reflection questions, and a simple planning framework that takes the guesswork out of this process. You'll work through an honest assessment of where you are now. You'll identify your professional and personal priorities, and you'll create a summer plan that holds both, so you can go into summer with intention and feel great at the end. Now, the goal is not to optimize summer. Let's get away from this sort of self-optimization, or I'm going to, you know, slot everything into every moment of available space in summer so that I get it all done. No, the goal is a summer that reflects what you need, and that's designed with intention. So that means it's a summer where you made conscious choices about how to spend your time and energy instead of just letting the summer decide for you. The goal is to create a summer that allows you to slow down and enjoy what you love about the season. And the outcome of doing that, you're going to come back in the fall feeling accomplished and ready for a new semester instead of exhausted and overwhelmed by everything you didn't get done. That's the summer I want for you, and I hope you want it too. You can find the Summer Reset Workbook at bethanywalensky.com. If you navigate to the services page on the drop-down menu, you'll see Summer Reset. You can click on that and you'll be able to purchase it. I'll also drop a link in the show notes. The workbook is just $20, and I promise it'll be worth it. I also have an exclusive discount for my podcast listeners. So from now until April 11th, you can save 25% on the workbook with the code PODCAST. And I'll also drop a link in the show notes if you're listening to this in real time and you hear it before April 11th, a link that includes the discount code so that you can just click on that and grab your copy of the Summer Reset workbook right now. So before I go, I just want to leave you with this. If you're like me, you became an academic because you care deeply about your work. You have ideas that matter, research that deserves your best thinking, and students who benefit from a version of you that's engaged and energized. But you're also not just your research or teaching. You're a whole person who has interests and needs outside of academia, and those things need your time and attention too. So I hope this summer you'll create space for more of what feeds your soul and matters to you. I hope you'll ditch the guilt and all the shoulds and start spending time doing what's most important, whether that's work, personal stuff, or a mix of both. This summer, I encourage you to try something different. Make a realistic plan, even if it means doing less, so you come out the other side feeling energized and ready for the new semester. Thank you so much for listening today. If this episode resonated with you, I'd love if you shared it with a colleague who needs to hear it right now. See you next time. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Sabbatical 101. If you found it helpful and want to hear more, please subscribe so you don't miss an episode. I'd also love it if you'd share my podcast with a friend or colleague who might be interested. If you'd like to connect to talk about my sabbatical coaching programs or to purchase an online asynchronous program, check out my website, www.bethanywilinski.com, or click the link in the show notes. You can also check out my blog, free resources, and subscribe to my monthly Sabbatical Insights newsletter. Until next time, here's to life-changing sabbaticals.